I think that it's important to really recognize that people that steal groceries to eat really should be acknowledged as responding to a problem that's beyond their control.
It's people's right to have food, and so taking food that you need is not a crime.
I guess it's less fuck Dollarama and more just, like, fuck corporations.
People have been shoplifting as long as there's been shops, and it's not a small problem. In 2018, the Retail Council of Canada reported that shoplifting accounts for $5 billion in losses a year, and it may be a growing phenomenon. According to a Statistics Canada report, shoplifting was also up 14% in 2018. Welcome to The Signal. I'm Dominique Amit.
And I'm Madeline Bizzo. We're with the audio workshop at the University of King's College School of Journalism. Today, we're talking about shoplifting food. We've chosen not to identify our sources who have talked with us about their experience of shoplifting, because admitting to breaking the law could affect their job prospects.
Thank you for using self-checkout.
Stores have changed. A humanless self-checkout is now the norm. Grocery stores don't need to hire as many people as they used to. One university student told us he steals food from Walmart because he feels they don't treat their workers well.
Walmart has a self-checkout, making it almost like they're asking to be stolen from. So you simply take your items, don't scan them, put them in your bag, leave. No one asks any questions.
He thinks it's important for service jobs to exist because so many people depend on these types of jobs for employment. He thinks it's wrong that Walmart profits off customers bagging their own groceries when they used to hire people to do it.
They're saving money. They're making money off of you doing your own work. I feel like I can make money off of doing my own work too, even if it's the $10 that I've stolen from the self-checkout. Maybe it is because I don't like them as a corporation because I think they're kind of evil.
Walmart isn't the only store that uses self-checkouts, but he primarily shoplifts from there because he has concerns about the company's ethics.
Because of their employment practices, specifically Walmart has really bad employment practices, right? They don't give people enough time off and they screw their workers all the time. And then aside from that, their, you know, international obligations where they, you know, buy all the cheapest stuff and they exploit people in developing countries.
He pulled off his biggest heist with a friend at Atlantic Superstore.
Me and my roommate were shopping for groceries at a superstore, and we had put all the groceries in the cart, and we had the bag of rice, a big bag of rice, like I'm talking 10 kilogram, you know, Rooster Brand bag of rice on the bottom of the cart, worth $20 maybe, something like that. And we got to the checkout, we put everything on, and we didn't put the bag of rice up, and we'd just forgotten, right? And then I looked at him, and I looked at the bag of rice, and he looked back at me, and he shook his head like this, side to side, saying no. That was a mutual understanding between us that we're not going to pay for the bag of rice. So then we just took the bag of rice through, and no one said anything because it was on the bottom of the cart, and no one looks at anything ever, apparently, so no one ever gets caught for that sort of stuff.
He isn't under any illusion about what he's doing.
Like, stealing is stealing, right? Like, I'm not going to say that it's not. I did take the stuff. Obviously.
Typically, he says he steals about $5 to $10 worth of groceries from Walmart. He says he would never steal from a small, locally owned business, though.
So if you take from a very small store, the owner of that store is going to feel the loss, right? And when I take from a big, huge corporation like Walmart, and I take $5 worth of stuff, it doesn't matter at all. I don't take stuff from my family. I don't steal stuff from people. Maybe that's just justification, though. I don't know.
Another student we spoke with stole a pack of honey buns from Dollarama. It may have been a one-off, but he did it to protest the way they treat their workers.
I just kind of thought the big corporation that Dollarama is, that doesn't really help their workers a lot. They don't really need that extra dollar or two. I don't know, pretty much everybody I know that goes to Dollarama takes things and doesn't think about it, so I thought, I'm hungry, why not?
He thinks another part of the problem is that Dollarama makes cheap products that people don't feel they should pay for.
It really points to a larger problem in the system where if we are making products that are such low quality and people are losing their jobs because people are stealing them, why not just make higher quality products that people feel like they're spending good money on and they're feeling that they're spending the adequate amount of money on it?
He was surprised we had found two other voices of people who stole not out of necessity, but as a form of protest.
It is a very stigmatized thing because, I mean, when it comes down to it, it's not legal. So it's not like a lot of people talk about it.
But shoplifting isn't always a matter of making a statement. Sometimes it's about need. The rising cost of food makes it harder for some people to buy groceries. According to the 2020 Canada Food Price Report, conducted by Dalhousie University and the University of Guelph, food prices are predicted to rise between 2 and 4% this year. This Dalhousie student is among those affected.
The biggest reason I shoplift is because I find, as a student who has two part-time jobs, I still can't afford to buy organic vegetables, organic fruit, sugar-free cereals, anything that's actually considered like a health food. Oftentimes, like, if you wanted to buy cheaper options, it's generally sugary cereal, sugary oatmeal, anything with more sugar, more corn syrup, things like that. So I generally shoplift things that I see as a right to people who are poor, which is healthy foods and foods that are just going to make you feel better. I've been shoplifting for 2 years since I've moved to Halifax so that I could stay on a better budget while I'm here. You have to pay for some or else they'll notice you, but if you fill your purse up with stuff, they don't want to look in your purse, you just get your wallet out, act normal. So you self-check out or just going through the regular people checkout with items in your purse or your bag. I'm from a different part of the province, and there it is considerably cheaper than even here. And so the food prices, especially in Halifax, but countrywide, I find are extremely expensive, in that I believe that food that has low sugar, has low corn syrup additives, things like that, that they should not be considered like a specialty food, but something that everybody can enjoy.
Wesley Petit of the Halifax Food Policy Alliance says this is a part of a larger issue of food insecurity in Halifax. Over 20% of children in Nova Scotia live in a food insecure household.
When we're talking about people that are shoplifting groceries to feed both either themselves or their families, then that is really frames a more specific problem of people having a hard difficulty accessing a daily need. And when you have hungry children at home, I think that we can all agree that that's a bigger problem than someone stealing something. I mean, it's not a socially acceptable way of procuring that food, but I think that we can all realize that poverty puts a huge amount of pressure on families and definitely leaves people thinking that they have no other options.
Usually because of poverty, high unemployment rates, low incomes, and a high cost of living. Petit works with the municipality on its food action plan, which aims to bring more healthy, sustainable, and affordable food options to people in Halifax.
Of course, there's an increased vulnerability to loss of profits in small-scale businesses that may be subject to shoplifting, but we definitely realize that this essential need, if you live in one of these families that is food insecure and you have a number of children, that the pressure to resort to socially unacceptable means is just so much pressure on that person. There are so many people that engage in shoplifting, and so it's important to not lump in people that would otherwise have access to food but engage in shoplifting anyway to those people that are left feeling as if they have no other option to feed their children. So recognizing that there's an acute need among people in low-income households.
Susan Ailes is the program manager for the Elizabeth Fry Society of Mainland Nova Scotia. She runs a program called Stop Lifting. She works with people who shoplift and may be in trouble with the law. She sees people who steal the statement or to deal with poverty.
Economy in Nova Scotia, we are one of the poorer provinces. There's not a lot of folks with extra funds kicking around. So it's easy to justify shoplifting. I mean, we need food. We need food to survive. I had mentioned that there's sort of a conscious ability to choose to make that political statement. And some people, it's a coping strategy. It's a kickback to the system. to say, express their anger at other injustices, and they will even out the universe for themselves that day by, you know, taking food from Walmart or the superstore or Sobeys.
Ailes said there is a code of ethics that often goes with shoplifting. People will shoplift from large corporations because of the perception they have insurance and spoilage worked into their budgets.
We don't really have like a conscience around it necessarily. And it puts folks who don't feel like they have any control back in control for that moment.
Ailes says people don't always feel like they have access to basic human rights, especially when they have to choose between rent and food.
If we look at food as you know, one of the absolute basic needs for human beings on the planet, shoplifting food brings up a lot of ethical questions around, you know, how are we a social democracy if there are folks going without enough food? How do we justify making profit off of something so basic? You know, food, shelter, clothing, air, water. We're talking about the very basic needs of human beings.
My name is Tony Amood. I am a senior staff lawyer with Nova Scotia Legal Aid. I've been practicing pretty much criminal law for the last 9 years.
Amood says he's assigned around 350 different criminal cases each year. Of these cases, a dozen or two relate to shoplifting food.
I would say that there are two types of food shoplifters. There are the people that need the food, so i.e. single moms, people with mental health conditions, many members of marginalized communities, so individuals residing in shelters or group homes that genuinely are hungry. One recent memory is a woman literally stole $32 worth of groceries. Like, we're talking bread, cheese, eggs, the fundamentals. Then you have the other group of people, which I would say are more the majority, or at least from what they tell me or what I get from the case. And these are the individuals that will steal food to trade or sell for drugs or alcohol.
Amood says in a court of law, it comes down to the lawyer to argue their circumstances that led their client to shoplift.
Have I seen people go to jail for stealing food because they're hungry? Yes. Do I see that happen more to marginalized people and people from marginalized communities? Yes. So that's something that I think we need to work more on.
He says judges are generally sympathetic, but also question why some of his clients haven't pursued other options.
They did challenge me on the fact that we live in quote-unquote Canada, and that's what social assistance is for, and that's what food banks are for. And that's what, you know, essentially laying out that this person had other options than to steal. I'll kind of go back to another client I had who was stealing food. And I remember her being a single mom. I remember her living in a women's shelter related to domestic violence. I kind of said to her, and I said, look, are you on social assistance? And she said, no. I said, well, why? And then you start seeing the hurdles. She had literacy issues. She had transportation issues. She had 100 other things on her plate that she needed to think about and deal with that were more immediate or daily. You know what I mean?
Amood thinks government departments need to work together to address the root causes of shoplifting.
I find it really problematic when I have clients who have significant mental health issues, right? And they're going into grocery stores and stealing food. Why are the police being called? You know what I mean? Why are they sitting in a jail cell before they're sitting in a hospital?
We tried to talk to Walmart, Sobeys, and Loblaws about how shoplifting affects their business, but they didn't respond to our request for interviews. One thing many stores say, and sometimes post on signs, is that shoplifters will be prosecuted, and that their shoplifting losses are passed along to consumers. So we all pay higher prices as a result. I'm Dominique Amit. This has been a podcast from the audio workshop at the University of King's College School of Journalism.
And I'm Madeline Bizzo. Thanks for listening. And by the way, if you'd like to learn more about places to find affordable food or alternatives to shoplifting, we've posted some links on our social media feeds. @SignalHFX on Twitter and on Instagram.